Blog Talk Radio.
I caught myself doing it again there. I started to do my bad drumming. We don't want to do that. Folks, good evening and welcome again to the November, our 16th episode of the Training Office here on Fire Engineering's Blog Talk Radio. I am your host. My name is Al Schlick, broadcasting to you live from beautiful Island Lake, Illinois. And folks, I don't know what it's like in your part of the country. Here it is. It's 6 o'clock. It's 6:30 my time. We're here in Central Time and it's dark already. And, you know, yesterday was Halloween. Here it is, dark already. The seasons are changing. I'm a big fan of the change of colors, the leaves and everything, but unfortunately, that's already passed us by, and before you know it, the cold weather is going to be here. But again, we're making the most opportunities we can to get out, do some training before the weather gets too cold, try to make a good push here towards the end of the year, and I hope you're doing the same thing, wrapping up your training programs for the year, looking forward to 2013 and what it's going to bring for us. Folks, a couple of items before we get started here, a couple items just for the good of the show. What we're doing this evening, we're going to have our president, Chief Doug Klein, is going to be on in just a second. Doug's got a bunch of exciting stuff to talk to you about, and obviously probably a big part of what we're going to talk about is you can well imagine this Hurricane Sandy, and Chief Klein is going to bring us up to speed on some of the things that have been happening out his way, and he's got some just great news. The other thing we're going to have on, our guest scheduled for this evening, and again, it's scheduled because he's on duty, and you never know what's going to happen. We're going to have John Schaefer on from the Greencastle, Indiana Fire Department, who's also the big guy behind GreenMaltese.com. We want to talk a little bit about training, talk about things that are going on the Internet, and we're looking forward to a pretty good show. So, folks, enough of me. I've got on the line with us the president of the International Society of Fire Service Instructors, Chief Doug Klein. Chief, welcome back again, and thanks for being with us this evening. What's going on by you, sir?
Well, We survived the storm a lot better than a lot of folks did. The South Carolina state was virtually really untouched when it comes down to the root of things. We had some rain, some wind, but none of the devastation that our friends in the Northeast are feeling and across the Mid-Atlantic states. You know, I have to say that every time we turn around, we really see what America's made of, and especially America's fire service. And I am so proud of the men and women who serve America's fire service, what they do and how they conduct business on a daily basis, and especially how they stepped up, you know, during these tough times. And I know people have seen the pictures, they've seen the videos, they've listened to live footage, and, you know, these folks are out there working in some really adverse and trying tough times and conditions when it's their families that are affected as well, but they're still given continuously. You know, we had the distinct privilege of having two individuals from our organization, two, you know, great officers to go up with the South Carolina Task Force team. They made a bunch of rescues with that group in the Maryland area. Just so proud of those guys. I just can't say enough about, you know, what everybody does. And, you know, this is a fine example of when we pull together, and that's kind of the theme of what I want to talk a little bit about, is the need for us to pull together as instructional people, as instructors and trainers out there. And I want to hit on a particular group. The most impacting instructor is the company officer. And anybody that tells you any different definitely has not been in a firehouse, especially with a good company officer. As they spend 24 hours, they're nonstop, you know, with these guys. Everything is a teachable moment, and that's what we really need to have happening out there. And I'm going to make a push right now for everybody listening to get engaged with your company officers and to have those folks be the true trainers of the fire service and impact, you know, the dimensions that we need to be impacting. And I'm going to call for the folks to make a push to make that brotherhood happen. And I know that you will. I'm fully confident. It's obvious every time that something occurs across the United States, we're right there and in the front. And it's very indicative of all the good things that are going on, all the activities, the rescues, that our training programs are working. But we got to keep training hard. We got to train often. And we can't ever come back and let ourselves say that our training failed us. We got to train for the situations. We got to train to win. It's like playing a game on Saturday afternoon in college football. Every day is a training day. So a lot of great things happening with the society. I wanted to make that push. We're continuing moving forward with this AFG grant and the live fire that we're going to be doing in South Carolina up in Spartanburg and doing a lot of research. We all got together this week. Matt Drakowski wasn't able to make it down due to a death in his family, but they did a lot of work up in Spartanburg yesterday, and we're just excited about what the outcomes are going to be with this study and how it's going to impact. I just can't wait.
Chief, if you could just for a second, because we didn't get a chance to get on last month, so it's been a bit. Could you just bring us up to speed again on what the grant is and what it is that we're trying to accomplish, just for anybody that's not up to speed on it?
Oh, absolutely, Al. International Society of Fire Service Instructors was awarded an AFG research grant, and we're focusing on the effects of exterior fire attack on the conditions inside the building as it will relate to firefighter safety and victim survivability. We've got Dan Madrakowski from NIST that's going to be coming in with all the scientific research. We've got the great folks from the South Carolina Fire Academy who's going to be helping us out. Shane Ray, longtime ISFSI member from the state fire marshal position and also the training division for South Carolina. We're working, you know, very hard to change the culture in the fire service and to provide true research and data that says that when you've got limited manpower, trying to make, you know, changes in the fire dynamics inside of a building from inside is maybe not the best case. We want to provide every opportunity for folks to know exactly what they have, you know, the capabilities of doing. And we want to have it in scientific data. There's a lot of research that's already out there. We're utilizing that research. We have a complete team that's analyzing that and putting it all together. This is going to be a great, great program, and it'll be out probably in June. That's our anticipated launch date of 2013. It'll be available in a multitude of different programs. We're going to have programs that update our live fire instructors that have been credentialed to ISFSI. It's going to be available for instructors across the United States to be able to use. It'll be able to be downloaded from our website, from a couple other websites. We're going to have it at Fire Rescue International with the chiefs at the South Carolina conference because it'll be hot off the press, and that's a lot of folks from North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia come in there. We're going to take that opportunity to have a special program on it. It's going to be phenomenal what we learn out of this, and it's going to change the culture of the fire service. And ISFSI, the entire board is just so excited about this. And I know Shane, longtime board member and ISFSI member, and he is just dedicated to making the fire service a safer place. And he's just working tirelessly with his staff to make all this happen. And we're just so excited about it.
Outstanding. And then again, what we're doing, the chiefs and his team is going to put together this information and hand it off to our instructors or every instructor across the nation, be able to have this material. It's prepared. It's ready to go. And here's the best part about it, as the chief alluded to, it's factual information. This isn't interpretation. This isn't anything. It's factual information to keep your folks safe. And if anybody is even remotely familiar with Chief Shane Ray, and his whole career has been towards firefighter safety and advancing the fire service, advancing the International Society of Fire Service Instructors. We're very fortunate to have him on this line. I can't wait to see the finished product, Chief. I think it's going to be outstanding.
It's going to be, and the best part about it is it's free. And that's what
that's
it's
my
all
favorite
about.
Kind. That's my favorite
free.
Kind. Yep.
And that's what we've got to do in the fire service. And that's what ISFSI stands for is, you know, we're here to be your support agency. We're here to be the organization that is all about sharing. Knowledge is power, and we believe in sharing that because that's going to lead us to a safer fire service. And our big push, and this is something we've been working on very hard, is we want to reach out and touch rural America. Our heart of the fire service is in rural America and volunteerism. And a lot of people have this concept that it's all about career folks. Well, you know, every day volunteer professionals go out and they do the job. And we're trying to help, you know, their training officers, the folks that are working two jobs, you know, making it to church, making it to kids, you know, little league games and to school functions, and they're eating a cheese sandwich and a bowl of soup at 6:30, getting together stuff so they can be at the firehouse to train these dedicated folks at 7 o'clock and give a good drill. That's what we're all about. We're about helping instructors, every instructor that we can possibly help. And the folks that have a bunch of resources, I'm calling on you. I'm going to call you out. You need to be on our website. You need to be sharing that stuff. You need to be mentoring. We need to be working with company officers. And ISFSI needs to be taking the lead on helping people educate the fire service.
Absolutely. And, Chief, we're going to continue to do what we can to move forward your message here on the training office and make sure that we are reaching out to those folks in need. And one of the biggest crimes, in my opinion, as a training officer, was have to sit down and put paper to pencil and come up with a lesson plan. There's so much stuff out there, and there's so many things. And, again, not everything fits every department, but there's so many things out there. We simply have to train and share what we've got. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this evening, but absolutely going to move that message forward. Chief, anything else while I have you on with us?
Al, as always, we're very indebted to your dedicated efforts and what you do to help us out on the radio show. You do a fabulous job. The folks that you bring on are just, you know, tremendous assets to the fire service. You know, their contributions on the show are just priceless. And, you know, I want to personally say thank you from me being the president, but moreover, I want to thank you from ISFSI, the entire board, and for the entire fire service, because you are a catalyst that's making a difference, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Chief. I really do appreciate it. I have to tell you, I love what I do. I love this opportunity to do this. I'm so grateful that you've allowed me to do it, and I look forward to continuing as long as you'll have me.
Absolutely, and I'm going to tell you what. As I tell my fine folks in the field, rock on, baby, rock on. You're doing a great job.
Excellent. You make me look good. I'm trying my best, sir. Absolutely.
That's hard. You know, for an ugly man, that's hard to make him look good. And you make him look good every time, brother.
It's a full-time job. Ladies and gentlemen, Chief Doug Klein, the current president of the International Society of Fire Service Instructors, checking in with us. And, Chief, thank you very much. And we look forward to hearing from you again on our next show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Be safe, Chief.
Thanks.
Well, folks, as it turns out, we've got I got to do just a little bit of business here. We've got a big show for you. I'm so glad to have Chief Klein come on. He did hit on some of the things we do want to talk about. Let me just go to the board here real quick and make sure I've got let me see my first caller. Let's see. We got a caller. Are you on the line with us?
Yeah, this is John.
Hi, John. How are you, sir?
What's up, bud? How you doing?
I am well. Well, folks, here, we'll just jump right into it. I apologize for that. I didn't copy John's number down, so I didn't have him on the caller ID. So here's what I got for you, folks. Let's get right into it. And I'm going to keep this as brief as I can. Our guest this evening on the phone with us this evening is Lieutenant John Schaefer from the Greencastle, Indiana Fire Department. And John is also the creator and the man behind greenmaltese.com. And you know what? I'm just going to stop right there and try to kill the rest of this introduction, and I'll let you handle a little bit of it, John. But one of the things, folks, I wanted to talk about, it just struck me before when Chief Klein was on. Chief Klein got on and he made it very impassionedly, and that is for the company officer. The company officer is the training officer for the company. They are the person that's in there with the company day in, day out, whether you're a paid firefighter or a volunteer, paid on call, whatever the case might be. We're very fortunate that Chief Klein brought those words up, because on the phone with us again, Lieutenant Schaefer, who is, and you're, John, you're on duty, is that correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah, he's on-duty company officer, so he may have to run off with us, but here is somebody that not only walks the walk, talks the talk, knows what he's talking about. John, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and spending a little bit of time with us. I know I kind of hacked up a little bit of your introduction. Could you just go ahead and kind of just tell us who you are and what you're about, and we'll get going.
Well, first of all, thank you, and thanks for the opportunity. So I think I caught a little bit of it. My name is John Schaefer. I'm the training officer here at the City of Greencastle and also the B-Shift Lieutenant. So I'm kind of doing two hats there as well. And my website, or one of my websites that he was referencing to is Green Maltese, which is a website that just out there to share some of the research and things I come across and just trying to educate the fire service on modern buildings, green buildings, and a little bit of everything. So just stuff that we're passionate about. And,
John, you mentioned one of the other websites now. We've had Chris Houston on before from enginecompany22.net, and we had a little bit of conversation. I understand you do quite a bit of work with Chris as well.
Yeah, actually, Chris is really the brains behind the other website, which is Fire Training Toolbox. Chris is a good friend of mine. We kind of we'd been back and forth, Facebook, some of the other social media, for a while, and then at FDIC last year, we actually met and just clicked and started sharing information and such. And then, long story short, is I had a regionalized, well, I guess it was a countywide training with five different fire departments. Locally here in Indiana, and so I needed to find a way to basically, I know it's kind of a buzzword, but flip the class. So I had made up some PowerPoints and put them on DVDs and such, and would send them out to all the different fire departments, as Doug was talking about. The other four departments were all volunteers, so we need to find a way for them to be able to get the lecture before they actually came to the live burn for the basement fires. So basically, just kind of ran it past Chris, and the rest has been history from there. He took it and turned it into an online module, and it just has grown from there. And we've actually knocked out several modules that are out there on that website. And then the way Fire Training Toolbox has come about is, as we were talking about the different stuff and such, and I do believe, Al, that you're probably on my email list, but a lot of times, you know, as we were saying earlier, training officers, why reinvent the wheel, especially when there's somebody out there already having to do it, and it takes a lot of time to get all the stuff from every different angle and put it to pen and paper. So even though it's specific to my department, I've kind of created my own email list of a bunch of instructors or people that I know that are passionate about the job, and I just share whatever I send out for my department and let them know, you know, it's not always applicable for yours, but if you want to take my name off, put your name on, more power to it. So we basically said we need a place to kind of just put this stuff where it's all of our work, and that's where Fire Training Toolbox come out of. So
yeah, now I know every month I get the packet from our friend Brian Kasperzak, and you're right, some of it doesn't really go for my department, but it's that constant reminder, that constant memory jogger that, oh yeah, I've got to do this, I've got to hit that. Well, hey, look at what they're doing here, and look how they did that. And it's one of the things, and John, I'm telling you something you already know, one of the hardest parts about being the training officer is keeping folks involved and keeping them, keep that spark, if you will, and keep them excited about things. So we have to, just by our nature of our job, tend to be very creative and have to come up with these things, and it gets tough. And now you're a guy, you're doing this, you're the company officer, you're the shift commander, you got a million things going on, plus this. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate the time that you take to push that out there. Now, if we could just go a little bit, how did the idea of the Green Maltese, that's kind of where I first was introduced to you a little bit. How did that start, and kind of what is that site about?
Well, how that site actually started, it's kind of funny. It started on Facebook just kind of as a page to share. I come across, and it's probably 7-8 years ago, even before like really anybody was talking about the green buildings, and I come across, and I know you're familiar because you sent me some stuff on it as well, structural insulated panels. Most people probably know by now, hopefully, at least reading some of the posts and stuff we've put out in other places, that a structural insulated panel is OSB with styrofoam, and that's the whole structural element, and it just really intrigued me. I'm like, whoa, this is one whole piece that is all interconnected, that's the whole structure. So it's totally different from everything that I'd ever been taught, you know, and stuff that I had read, you know, in the Bible, which is Brannigan's book of building construction. And so I started digging into it. So started doing, you know, internet searches and such, just trying to find out more about that. And in turn, what it basically done is that was barely the tip of the iceberg, and I'm still continually learning, even stuff I come across today, even in some of my research. So then I just started, like, you know what, there's no, I looked, you know, green buildings for the fire service, and there was nothing out there at that time, 7-8 years ago. So I created a page on Facebook, and as I would read an article, a regular construction article, whatever, not really fire service, I would post it up there. And it kind of just started taking off. And then, within about 2 years ago, Fire and EMS Blogs, I met some of those guys at FDIC as well. And I kind of told them my idea, and they'd seen the Facebook that I actually got on that. Friended that page as well. And the rest has been history as far as that. I mean, they've been great. They gave me a platform to be able to blog from. And so it's awesome.
Outstanding. And if I haven't mentioned it, I forgot to mention to the audience, I mentioned it to you as well, 172 days until FDIC 2013. I just wanted to point that
out.
That's
right, brother. Absolutely.
John, there's
I
can't wait. It's, you know, we're excited. We haven't even hit Christmas yet, but I'm already thinking about April, so.
Absolutely.
John, you're on the internet a lot. You see what's out there. You see what's going on. There is a lot of firefighter-based websites, and there's a lot of information out there. How have you, and obviously, and I'm kind of back in this question, I apologize, you're one of the purveyors of, you know, a couple of really good sites, but just as a training officer, somebody who's out there in the field every day putting together training for your department, how have you used the other sites that are available? And there's literally hundreds of them, I think. There might even be thousands, and there's some great ones out there. How do you incorporate those? How do you use those, if at all?
Oh, I use them tremendously. I mean, I don't even want to start naming all of them, as you said, because there's just so many good ones. My blog row has on Green Maltese some of the ones. We've also referenced some of the links on Fire Training Toolbox. But, yeah, I mean, it's just wherever, as you said, you know, as that training officer, when you're putting their stuff together, you start using the internet and the leverage. That's why it's really exciting to be in these kind of times of, you know, it's instant information. It doesn't mean it's always right, as you said earlier, but at least, you know, you have access to a lot of different options, and then kind of run the model of what's going to work here, and start plugging and playing. And no, it's the internet is, you know, I don't think any training officer's best friend, so to say. So I use it there daily, hours upon hours. So, and that's kind of like we said, the training toolbox. Even though a lot of it's our stuff, well, I want to go ahead and put that out there, and we've done this before, but anybody who is writing or interested in getting into writing, or has PowerPoints or lesson plans or drills or best practices, the training toolbox is not about just Chris and I. We want it to be a place that people can put their stuff up there. Will it work maybe in Greencastle? No, it may not. But you know what? Somebody else might have something they can gather from there. Send it to one of us, and we'll get it up, especially for other bloggers that are out there. We're even offering a free, you know, free of charge, we'll link it back to your site, so it's bringing traffic into your site as well. So it's just a win-win for someone who's trying to get started with their passion and share their information out there. So that's what we're really wanting to see come out of that.
Excellent. You know, our friend, and you're familiar with Chris Brennan over at fireservicewarrior.com, and one of the things... So you're familiar with Chris. One of the things that Chris said about this...
A lot of their stuff. Pardon?
One of the things that Chris has talked about with the internet, the power of the internet, and now we've got these fire training websites, but before that we always had access to YouTube, and I talk like old YouTube's an oldest technology, but there's a lot of information. There's a lot of fires. There's a lot of things, and I've heard people say, I go to a fire every shift because every shift, you know, we pull up something on YouTube, we take a look at it, and we do lessons learned, and just kind of take a look at it and critique it, not critically necessarily, but we look at it. One of the things that I've gotten a little bit of pushback from, it, and Chris kind of warned me about this early on, is when you're out there on the internet and you're looking at some of these things out there, as a training officer, you really need to provide your folks with a frame. You need to frame this information. This is kind of what we're looking at. This is how we're looking at. Have you seen, and I bring this whole thing up to kind of lead you to this question, have you seen, with all the information that's out there, have you seen any, I guess we'll call them negative effects of the internet and of the use of the internet for training. Have you run into any problems with that?
I wouldn't say so much negative, but Chris is absolutely right. And by the way, that's a wonderful site, and I've used their stuff tremendously, especially a lot of stuff Brian Bush has put out. It's been amazing. So great website, and I agree 100% with them. So I guess what it is you, as you bet on, you need to put it in a context. Obviously, if you're going to have a fairly young firefighter who's passionate and out trying to find information, which is great, I have a lot of people send me a lot of links and stuff and such, which is wonderful, and keep sending them. But you know what I mean? You have to say, okay, what was the situation here? Or at least try to dig into it, try to find out, you know, what was the situation? What is the resources? And to me, that's really the biggest thing. I mean, a New York City tactic is not going to work in Greencastle. A Greencastle tactic is not going to work in New York City, per se. So you have, like you said, you got to put it in that frame of reference. So as you have seen from my packets, whenever I attach a link or another thing I've done also, is I've created like a Greencastle YouTube account. So by doing that, I actually go through there and link the videos that I kind of want them to go watch. It's kind of a free way, actually, for training officers out there. You just create your own channel, and then you go through there and you put the appropriate videos in there, and that way you can kind of guide the content as well. The grant, the internet, so they can look at anything they want as well. But that's an attempt, anyways. I don't know if that's the exact answer you're looking at, but yeah.
Oh, that's exactly it. I was just curious how you were doing it. Now, John, I think this also takes us kind of when you talk about these things and creating and using this technology, and like you said, creating your own YouTube site. You mentioned it before, a little bit of that current buzzword we talked about, flipping the classroom, and that idea that's out there. And I think this kind of leads to that conversation. How much of that have you been able to do? How much of that is practical? And I'll use, you know, the Greencastle Fire Department as an example. I mean, how much of that have you been able to do? How much have you been able to flip your classroom?
It's actually really starting to help quite a bit. But the point that, especially like Chris and I, we always try to stress, I know other guys that are into this do as well, is, you know, I don't care, even though that may be the buzzword, I don't think you'll ever take the place of needing that instructor there. Even if you're flipping that classroom, they're still going to, when you at least get to the drill grounds or whatever, there needs to be kind of a minimum or recap, hit the high points and so on and so and such. So where it does help, though, especially with, as Doug talked about earlier, with the volunteers, we're a accommodation department. So what I can do, for instance, last month, and it's actually on the fire training toolbox, all of our shifts and all our department was doing air management training. So I took the regular PowerPoint that I would have to go in and teach all three shifts and the volunteers, reserves, and the part-time, and actually just made the audios to it, which is flipping the class, and then loaded it up on fire training toolbox and put it on DVDs as well, so therefore the volunteer could sit at home and do the classroom. The part-time could come in and log in on the department computer, or they could go to the shift, or the shifts could go to the website. So it made it really available for them to do the lecture part on their time frame. So therefore, when it came time to the skills and the actual confidence consumption course, we were able to focus our time on the hands-on. So it actually gave us a little more time for, as we all know, we can never get enough of the actual hands-on stuff. So I think a lot of times people think flipping the class, well, you know, it's all going to be lecture. Well, that's not the case. It actually gives you more time for hands-on.
Yeah, that's kind of the biggest thing. And if I understand correctly, the idea, this whole idea about flipping classroom came from academia where, listen, we don't want to spend a lot of time, going over the concepts. I want you to read about it before. When we get into the classroom session, we're actually going to try to put those into action. So, yeah, I know a lot of folks are out there that are trying to leverage technology, so that does give them – the time on the drill ground, it gives them more actual hands-on time. So that's excellent. John, if you're okay, if you don't mind, would you mind staying on the phone? We got to take just a quick break. Because you got time for us?
Sure. Sounds good. No calls so far. So.
Yeah, we'll just keep you on the phone. We just got to take a quick break.
We're coming right back after these messages. We're coming right back after these messages.
When you're not listening to Fire Engineering Talk Radio, get online to fireengineering.com and check out the Fire Engineering Network. Get the best in training, news, video, and community in the fire service today. The best source for training and information on the World Wide Web, fireengineering.com. Now back to Fire Engineering Talk Radio.
Well, folks, thanks for sticking around after the break there. On the phone with us this evening here on the training ops, we've got Lieutenant John Schaefer from the Greencastle, Indiana Fire Department, and the one of the faces behind, sorry, I lost my place, GreenMaltese.com, and very exciting, FireTrainingToolbox.com as well. Go out into the World Wide Web, put in the Google machine, Green Maltese, you'll get a spot there, or the Fire Training Toolbox. And I'm on his site right now taking a look. He mentioned the air management presentation he's got up there. Outstanding, great stuff that's out there, John. And again, like you said, the spirit of sharing and putting those things up there, I can't say enough for it. So thank you for doing that. John, while I got you on the phone, off the topic of some of the things we talked about before flipping the classroom, what's kind of the, and it puts you on the spot a little bit, what's kind of the hot topic right now? What's the direction that you're going in with your training program there in Greencastle? What's going on? What's the big issue?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, obviously, as any good training officer, you understand you have the fundamentals that you have to continue to go over and over time and time again, the ones that are, you know, the low-frequency but high-risk type training, and I don't think those ever go away, and we just want to continually hone our skills. So we always have those, you know, and I guess it's as Doug was talking earlier, it's about changing the culture, and, you know, and even then, I'm not saying, you know, that, to me, that's a buzzword as well, because there's a lot of things about our culture that is wonderful that we don't want to change. So to me, it's more about changing just thought process, especially as more science comes out. I mean, there's a lot of great researches that's out there. So what I've tried to do this year, I would say, is try to put all the people through the wind driven, some of the UL stuff again, just trying to stay up on a lot of the research as it comes out and be totally fresh on it so that our guys have an edge. And, you know, unfortunately, it takes a long time for stuff to make it to the curriculum. So we spent a lot of time with adding that stuff in to the actual training schedule. So that's kind of what this year has been about here at Greencastle. So.
You know, John, you bring up something interesting, I'm sorry to keep doing this to you, but I just want to, you know, kind of get your ideas and see what's going on out there. My 9th or 10th year as a training officer, and I wanted to make sure, you get a little nervous, you want to make sure, and my workforce has changed over a little bit, but probably I've got about 70% of the same people I started with. You know, there's some turnover. We're a combination department as well. We've had a few full-time or paid guys retire. We've had a lot of part-time guys come in and out. And I always want to make sure my program is a bit fresh. That's that thing for me. I want to make it fresh. I want to challenge the incumbent firefighters, the seasoned firefighters that have been around for a while, and I want to make sure that I'm providing good quality training for the younger folks that are there or the newer firefighters. So I recently put out a little survey, just a little 5-question, nothing to it survey, kind of just asking for some goods and bads and an opportunity. One of the words, one of the phrases I got back out of the survey was back to basics. And that's been something, that phrase, again, has been thrown around the fire service quite a bit. In Greencastle, in just in John's opinion, how do we balance, how do we do the back to basics? What does that even mean to you? Because I'm not sure I know exactly what it means either. I'm just trying to figure that out. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm sure we all have the different interpretation of what the basics are. I think the basics, obviously, you're going to have to do some type of assessment of your fire department's capabilities. I'm sure any good training officer does that as well. You know, it's one thing to have the basics of what, you know, a truck company works with. If you don't have a dedicated truck company, per se, as is in my job, then why would I spend any time going over the basics of, you know, truck companies? Now, I'm probably going to do some of the truck company functions, such as force budgetry and such. But so I think a lot of it has to do just with what you have. What is your jurisdiction capable of responding to? And then take a look at, you know, what types of buildings, what type of occupancies that you have, what population, and then building your training plan around that. And then, you know, the basics, I guess, is kind of what I was alluding to earlier. You have to train continually, and we should never even get away from it. It shouldn't be back to the basics. It should be the foundation, in my opinion, which is the stuff that can kill you, you know. the high risk, low frequency stuff, stuff that we don't do all the time. Because, you know, if we go on something all the time, then granted, you got to fight complacency there if you go to that same type of run all the time. But you're going to be much better at something you do all the time versus that one time that you might do it every 6 months. So I don't know if that's the exact answer you're looking for, is back to the basics, but I think it's different for each locale. I really do.
Yeah, and I think you really hit a lot of the key things, and it goes back to your organization. And one of the things I do, I get a little news segment here on the show, and we talk about kind of those interesting calls that have come up, and you have to keep your eye on those things that don't come up that often. But I've always believed, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I've always believed that if your folks are really, really proficient at basic company functions, that they can, you know, they can lead out, they can don their SCBA, they can do the basics of this job, that when sometimes something throws them a little bit of a curveball, it's not really a big adjustment. Because they come from such a solid foundation of good fire skills. And it's a skill set that, you know, again, we can't prepare for everything. That's just kind of the way that I've always approached it. Seems to be like it's working out okay, but a good set of basic skills really lends itself to being successful in all situations.
Right, absolutely, and I've always said, and I know probably other people said this as well, but as I teach Firefighter 1 and 2 throughout some of the, well, my days off, I'm also a regional training coordinator here in Indiana, and we teach a lot of the recruit academies and such, and I always say as the recruit academies are coming through and getting Firefighter 1 and 2, I'm like, you guys are learning the alphabet of firefighting. So, you know, if you're going to speak the language, then you got to be proficient at it. So even though it may be something that you've done every single year for the last 20 years of your career, those kind of things that are the skills and such in Firefighter 1 and 2, you can never forget those. You have to continually always entertain them. Now, I'm not saying that every single year your whole entire training schedule has to be a Firefighter 1 and 2 over again, but that is the foundation of where the basics are at, speaking the language.
Absolutely. I love, that's a great analogy, John. I didn't really thought about that. If you go back to when we were in grade school, they taught you the alphabet before they taught you the spell.
Absolutely. And, that's the letters that are around the top of the room.
That is a wonderful analogy. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and steal that, if that's all right with you.
You can do that.
I'll give you as much credit as I can remember. John, before I let you go, I want to make sure folks stop by and see you. Is firetrainingtoolbox.com, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Firetrainingtoolbox.com, greenmaltese.com. I'm on the Fire Training Toolbox website right now, and I've been on it before. I just wanted to make sure I had it fresh in front of me. Folks, I can't tell you, get on that site. Stop by and see the work that John and Chris are doing. It's absolutely tremendous. And, again, take that information, mold it for your own department, and use it as you can. John, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening on the training office.
Well, it's my honor, but I'm going to put you on the spot before I go, Al. I know you put some good stuff out. So that same goes for you. Any of your stuff that you do in your training division that you're willing to share, send it over to us at Training Toolbox, and we'll get it up because I know you put out good stuff. So you can help, help with that as well.
John, if we wanted to do that, if somebody's listening, they want to, how do they do that again? Just give me one more time. How would they send you stuff?
They can send it to Chris, and I know his email is on the website as well, or you can send it to mine, which is Green Maltese, spell it out one word, lowercase, Green Maltese at gmail.com.
Green Maltese
at gmail.com.
Green Maltese at gmail.com. Excellent.
Yeah, and if it's a
John,
large
again,
email, we can set up a Dropbox account or something to that effect as well. So.
Okay. Absolutely. Folks, you heard it here. If you got something you want to share, and again, John said, I'll give you the credit for it, put it right on there, share it with folks. As a training officer, as a company officer, I'm sorry, a training officer or a training program manager or an instructor, you put a lot of hard work into something, you want to show it off, send it over to John and Chris. We'll put it up there. John, again, thank you so much, and I know you're on duty the rest of the evening. Please keep yourself safe, keep your men safe, your firefighters safe, and we'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Yeah, and I just want to also invite anybody and everyone, if you're at FDIC, come to my class. I'd love to have you in class as well. So
we'll look forward to seeing you at FDIC. 172 days, folks. Stop down in Indianapolis and see John and see all the good things that are going on there. John, thank you. Have a good night, sir. Be safe.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, on the training office here, Lieutenant John Schaefer, the Greencastle, Indiana Fire Department, the man behind Fire Training Toolbox, him and Chris Houston. Stop by and see him, firetrainingtoolbox.com. If you forget, put it in the Google machine. You'll certainly come up with it. Listen to what, see what they've got on there. It is just wonderful, wonderful stuff. I can't say enough about it. All right, folks, moving on, just a couple of items in the news I wanted to share with you. We've kind of alluded to it, and Chief Klein was on, talked about Hurricane Sandy. Obviously, that is the big issue that had happened to the American Fire Service. When I see the American Fire Service, obviously it happened to the East Coast. I'm aware of that. But if any of you had the opportunity to listen to some of the traffic that was coming out of FDNY, and everybody was talking about FDNY, and folks, they did just some tremendous work, unbelievable. But you have to keep in mind that one of the things I was alluding to is all the communities outside of the greater New York area and all up and down the coast, the part-time departments, volunteer departments, accommodation departments were all faced with the same thing. And every single one of them certainly acted in the best history of the best the fire service has to offer. Unbelievable. Police officers, EMS, everybody stepped up, and it was such a horrible thing that this happened. It's devastating, and it's awful, but when you look at the work that was done and the outcomes that we had because of the efforts of these brave men and women, you're just so proud. It's one of those moments you go, you know, darn it, I am a member of the American Fire Service. And I am tremendously proud of the patch that I wear on my arm. I'm very proud of my organization, as I'm sure each and every one of you listen to my voices. But there's that time when you just really want to embrace the entire fire service and say, look, I'm a part of this, and that is such a cool thing. So as much as I am happy about what happened, I do have obviously just a little bit of bad news to report about that, as we're aware a Connecticut firefighter was killed in the line of duty during the response to that and outdoing his job for his community. It was an Easton firefighter, and I got this information from firehouse.com. The local paper in Easton there had a story, but it wasn't as good as this particular one, so I pulled it off of firehouse.com. But an Easton firefighter died after a prelim followed him about 7:45 p.m. on Monday. Lieutenant Russell Neary was a lifelong resident of Easton and a 13-year veteran of Volunteer Fire Department, according to Selectman Robert Lesler. And his brother, an Easton Fire Marshal, is an Easton Fire Marshal, Pete Neary. Neary was working to remove some debris from the roadway and was struck near Judd Road in Easton. The governor of the state of Connecticut met with Easton firefighters Tuesday to offer his condolences. You know, folks, here's the thing. And why do I bring this up? When you, hey, Mr. Downer there, you want to, you know, give us some good news? And the reason I bring this up, folks, is this. He was, you know, we talked about firefighter line of duty deaths. And I think each one of us, when we hear that phrase, we imagine that firefighter inside of a burning building, and we think about that. And I think every one of us is very clear about that. When we talk about firefighter safety, we think of that. But here was a firefighter doing, and again, you know, he was clearing debris from the roadway. I'm assuming, you know, cutting up trees and moving things and trying to open the roadways, because, again, if the roads aren't open, we can't get to where the people need us. And doing his part, a lifelong resident community, and had something like this happen to him. And again, I'm not even for a second blaming anybody. That's not the point of this. The point of this is we are constantly surrounded by danger at every turn, and I think if this is an excellent opportunity to take this back to our firefighters and make sure that Lieutenant Russell Neary did not die in vain, that we take the lesson out of this, and folks, we have to remain vigilant. And when I say that, I want to make sure that you know, and I'm not suggesting that Lieutenant Neary wasn't vigilant. He was. He was there doing a very, very dangerous job at a very dangerous time, and he gave his life, and we cannot let that escape. We have to look at this incident and say, folks, when we're out on the road, no matter what we're doing, if it's a working structure fire or an activated carbon monoxide detector, whatever the case might be, we are constantly surrounded by danger. Sometimes it's man-made. In this case, it was made by Mother Nature. Folks, we've got to make sure we get this message across to our folks to keep them vigilant. When they are at the firehouse, we have that opportunity to make sure that when they turn out, when they're on the road doing this job, that they keep that in mind. We do not want to let the lieutenant's sacrifice go on. And so my sincerest condolences to everybody here at the International Society of Fire Service Instructors. Offers our condolences to the Neary family and the loss of Lieutenant Neary. And again, I'm going to make it my point, part of our programs and part of what we're doing to make sure that his lesson goes on. So I certainly want to bring that up. Where was I going with this? Oh, And I forgot to ask everybody to join in the conversation. We had Lieutenant Schaefer on the phone with us, but please, if you're in the future shows, don't let me forget to join in the conversation. 877-497-3973 is the toll-free number. You can reach us or dial us direct at 760-454-8852. I mentioned 172 days to FDIC. Can't tell you how much we're looking forward to that. Folks, we're training officers. We're instructors, training program managers, whatever our title, whatever it is that we do. We are the folks that are out there in the trenches. Now, it was really just a great opportunity that we had John Schaefer on, to talk about the work that him and Chris Houston are doing with the Fire Training Toolbox. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, great, I'm going to go there. They're saying, where else is it that I can go to gather information? What are some of the things that I can do? Folks, I want you to go to your Google machines and put in just a simple thing in the old trade. USFA, United States Fire Academy, just put in USFA trade, T-R-A-D-E. And there is the training resources and data exchange that's available to them. If you go to the website and say it's USFA, FEMA, dot, blah, 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 put it in Google, you'll figure it out. There is an opportunity there for you to get involved in a good mailing list, not one of those ones that you don't forward it the next 10 minutes, you know, first cat to buy or something silly that's out there. This is an actual really, really good website I wanted to share with you. If you go onto that website, if you get down on the bottom of the page, there's a TradeNet email subscription. There's a list that you can get on. I know we all don't want to be on too many lists, but this is a list that we can certainly be on, where we're going to have an opportunity to provide some assistance to our fellow firefighters out there that are looking for help. It's a weekly email that comes out, and you can send information into it. And manager at National Fire Academy, I've got a problem. I have a question. I need some assistance. And you send me, say, listen, this is Training Officer Smith from the XYZ Fire Department, and I need something for driver training, as an example. Could you help me out with this? And you put this on there, and it gets blasted out to literally thousands of firefighters, fire officers, instructors, training program managers, and they have an opportunity. So, look, this guy, this fire officer, this firefighter, this training officer needs some assistance. I've got something I want to do. Folks, this email comes into my office every Thursday, and I make it a point to go on there and offer something to at least one of the people. I feel like I'm like a big loser if I don't answer to one of these things, because I want to share. I want to make this job easy, because I've had the opportunity, like you have, to be sitting in your office, sitting at home before training night going, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I've got to keep this information fresh. I've got to keep my people involved, because I have to keep it safe. So TradeNet, it's an outstanding opportunity. Please put in that in there and go to the Google machine and put that in. Now, there's one other thing about that, and I just put it in Google, and I actually didn't know while I was talking to you, and I put it USFA space trade, T-R-A-D-E, and the third thing that came back by it says NFA trade, LSU F-E-T-I, and what they did is the LSU, okay, and I'm going to really mess up the story, and if I mess this up too, but I apologize. There was a gentleman, Bob Bennett, Robert Bennett, sorry, and he was a firefighter, company officer, if I'm not mistaken, with the Arlington, Texas Fire Department. And what he would do is he was a training officer involved in training, and he would collect as many training materials as he could, certainly everything he developed, and he got some of the neighbors. And what he used to do is he would put this information on disk, CD. I mean, actually, the old CDs, when CD was really cool technology. And he had, I want to say, when I sent mine in, it was like 7 or 8, I think, at the time. But what you would do is Bob would say this. He said, listen, if you send me X amount of CDs, however many he had at the time, and again, this is all done through trade. This is where we found this information. If you send me 6 or 7 or 8, however many it was, blank CDs and a self-addressed envelope with postage paid, I'll burn these for you. I'll burn all this information. And you would get back literally, and I can't remember how many gigs it was, but it was a tremendous amount of information. It was lesson plans and programs, and PowerPoints, and everything like that. Well, part of a program, and I'm going to mess this is the part I'm messing up. I don't remember exactly who did it, but somebody down at LSU put all this information that he had available right on a website. So you can go to it. And if you go to this particular website, there is literally hundreds, if not thousands, of programs that are available to you. And if you do it, so it's actually, I'm looking at it right now, it's the Carol L. Herring Fire and Emergency Training Institute. and there's a whole bunch of stuff, but there's a little right on the main page, and they say this is a, you know, trades virtual trading post, and there's a little blank spot, and you can put something in. I'm just going to type in SGBA, and you hit search, and what it's going to do is it's going to look in its database, and I've got right now, it says there is, you search return 31 hits for SGBA, and I just put in SGBA. I didn't put anything specific, and what I'm looking at, what it returns is, and so it's all done by link, but there's presentations, there's quick drills, there's tests, there's all kinds of stuff, anything you need. SGBA SOP quick drill, and it's, you know, what do you want to open it with? Open it with a publisher, and I'll just select okay. And it's going to open up a quick drill that somebody said, oh, well, here, by the way, this is a drill that we've got here. I want to share it with you. And they just simply send it out there, and you can download it again. And I'm downloading it right now on, this publisher. And so I can look at this. Does this work for me? Okay, I'll take my name off. I'll take their name off. I'll put my name on. And there I go. I've got a drill. And again, folks, for those of you that are struggling, and I looked at what John was doing, company officer, training officer, you know, he eyeball deep in things that anybody, you know, for a minute in the fire service knows there's a billion things going on all the time. Here you go. Here's an opportunity. We've got to be able to find a place that we can share this information. So trade, USFA Trade, take a look at that. Just a wonderful site. Please subscribe to that and get the information. And again, Fire Training Toolbox is another great spot for us to go. So, folks, we're getting to the point now where we're just about out of time. Time flies. We're having fun. I got just a little bit of stuff to go. I do want to just spend a couple of minutes and go over some of the stuff that's out there. Again, folks, please, and I have to go back to it again because I'm just so crushed by it, but you said it, Mary. Let's not, and we say that a lot, don't we? And I say that a lot. I'm guilty of that. Let's not let this have happened in vain. I mean that. Let's not let this happen, man. Let's get back and make sure we share this with our folks and just remind them what a dangerous, dangerous job this could be. A couple of training opportunities I do want to pass along to you. Speaking of free training, speaking of training that you can reach out and get anytime, a couple of upcoming ones here November the 15th, and that's 1 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And again, thank God for Google because I can never remember what time zone I'm in. But 1 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, Atmospheric Monitoring on the Fire Ground by Captain Jason Cruzen. Cruzen, Chief Cap, I hope I said your name right. Jason's from the Columbia, South Carolina Fire Department. And that's going to be available on fireengineering.com. Boy, Al, that's exciting. Atmospheric Monitoring on the Fire Ground. Folks, listen, I have to tell you, your training officers, your program managers, your instructor, you know what we are discovering now about the products of combustion and the ugly, ugly things that are in smoke. And what the captain's going to do is take us through atmospheric monitoring and making sure that we are doing the right stuff and keeping our people safe. And really more so than that, really just kind of identifying, and I just want to, I apologize for reading this to you, but I just want to go through preventing smoke inhalation exposures, detecting the presence of dangerous gases, and recognizing exposure and providing treatment to the victims are among the primary objectives of this class. Students will see how treating the fire ground as a hazardous materials incident site will improve their safety. Standard operating guidelines will also be discussed. Boy, didn't he really just hit it on the head there? The fire ground as a hazmat event. Boy, there is not a firefighter I've ever met that responds to a hazmat incident and says, I'm not wearing SCBA. Oh, they got to mitigate it, I'll take it off. We don't do that. As firefighters, we are programmed from day one. Hazmat, protect yourself at all costs, slow down, do the same thing. And I think what the captain's going to do here is really teach us the importance of kind of looking at the fire ground as just that. So I'm really looking forward to that. November the 15th, 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And again, on fireengineering.com, if you cannot make it when it's done live, you certainly have the opportunity to go back and look at it again. The other one I wanted to bring up was November the 29th, 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight again, implementing the results of the Oriented Driver Training Simulation Program, and that's going to be offered by Lieutenant Robert Rahab. Hack that up. RAHEB, Lieutenant's a retired FDNY fire officer. And basically, what he's going to be talking about, and this, when I saw this one, I got Ken Kane, I'm excited about it because driver training. Folks, we've talked about that. How driver training is one of those things that we have an opportunity and an obligation, I think, as instructors, as training officers, as training program managers, to make sure that our folks are out there because no matter what we do, we cannot eliminate all the hazards to that. So this emergency vehicle operator course can help improve safety for the vehicle drivers as well as the citizens they serve. And this free online course, learn how to develop an EVOC training program for your department that gets results. By implementing the triangle of training, instructors can change driver behavior and improve outcomes. And so we're looking forward to that. We're November 29th at 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Stop by fireengineering.com and give that one a listen. Folks, I'm going to be there. Well, barring any calls. If not, if I miss it, that's okay because I can come back to it. It's going to be recorded and available to us. Folks, if I could just provide you with my own little plug, the Reader's Read. Sorry, I can't talk, apparently. The Leader's Read Book of the Month. And, folks, I just finished this one up. That's why I found it to be a bit disturbing. But I want you to, I really, really would like you to go over and read this book. And I don't, I make recommendations. We talk about this Leader's Read. I believe that. But this is one of those books that I don't really know how to feel about. I mean, I'm glad I read it, and I'm glad of the information. It's called Conspiracy Among America's Heroes. And it's by Chief Kelly Daugherty, D-A-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y. He's a retired fire chief. And he writes about his experiences with the fire department and the things that happen. And it's disturbing. And maybe I'm naive. And I probably am. But when I read this book and I read the things that the chief and some of his officers and certainly his training officer and some of the other folks had to contend with in a very contentious relationship there in his fire department with the city and his union and his folks and all the things that went into it, I think it's worth a read. And again, I'm not taking sides one way or the other. I think you have to read it and formulate your own opinions on it. But it's an interesting story. I think it's worth a read. It was a very easy read. The chief did a good job putting it together. So I think one of those things you're certainly going to have to take a look at. But I would definitely recommend it as a fire officer. As a fire training officer, as an instructor. Because, folks, we are, let's face it, I told you this before, and I'll say it again. Hear me today, listen to me tomorrow, believe me next week. The fire officer, the fire training officer, the instructor is the change agent for their organization. Folks, you are the ones that are going to make changes happen. And change sometimes is a scary thing for folks, and I think you're going to read a lot about that in the book. So please stop by and take a look at The Conspiracy Amongst America's Heroes, Chief Kelly Daugherty. I'm sorry, Chief, if I messed that up, retired fire chief. So we talked about that. I got a couple of plugs for you. Please stop by and see us at the International Society of Fire Service Instructors, ISFSI.org. Folks, take an opportunity to look at those programs that we've got out there, the credentialing programs we've got, the master fire instructor, the professional fire instructor, chief training officer, and as Chief Klein mentioned, the live fire instructor certification and all the exciting things that are going on with that. Folks, a little bit of sad news, happy and sad all at the same time. This past October was the end of my term as president of the Illinois Society of Fire Service Instructors, and it coincided with my second term on the board, as president. Our board stints are 4 years. Wait, sound like I was really tutored by organization. Sorry, I apologize. My brain's a little bit fried. But 4 year commitment on the board. I did a couple of stints on the board and was president for 2 years, last 2 years. Very, very happy to lead a fine organization and be involved with that. I believe it to be my duty in the fire service, certainly to step up and take a leadership role. And for those of you who are listening to me, I think if you have those opportunities, if you can make that work in your life, step up and serve one of your state training organizations or a local training organization, whatever you have in your state that's very specific to you. Step up and get involved in the International Society of Fire Service Instructors as I have. And, folks, you call Chief Klein and say, Chief, I want to be involved. He's going to ask you how much. How much, how little do you want to do? There's opportunities, I think, as fire officers, and I'm going to go to fire officer now. I'm going to say that as fire officers, as firefighters, as people involved in training and motivation in the fire service, I think it's one of those things that you really have to do to provide yourself with a well-rounded career, get involved, and serve, do a term of service. But my term now at the Illinois Society of Fire Service Instructors is over, and I just want to pass on my thanks to the mentors and the folks, Forrest Reeder, Rudy Horst, our new president, Dave Zinter, Brian Thompson, our new vice president, past president, and my live vice president, Tom Height, and our directors, Jim Pelletieri, who was a constant inspiration for me, Mitch, our treasurer, longtime treasurer, Chief Persetti out of Pingree Grove. Mitch really helped a lot, and I think I would have been lost a little bit about without some of his guidance. And our administrative assistant, Helga Horst, who is really kind of the face of the office,
you will, in the backbone of the organization. So you know, I'm forgetting somebody. Zach Riddle, our secretary, who did just a wonderful job. And I just wanted to just take an opportunity, take a minute or two, to pass on to those folks and encourage you as well to get involved and do something with a local organization here at the International if you want to do that as well, certainly opportunities. Folks, stop by and see us at fireengineering.com. See all the exciting stuff that's going on there on a regular basis, the training minutes, the news, the training that's available. Stop by and see us. Always good stuff. Please, if you have an opportunity, stop by and see our friend Chris Brennan at fireservicewarrior.com, our friend Forrest Reeder at thetrainingofficer.com. And again, thank you very much to our guests this evening, Lieutenant John Schaefer over at firetrainingtoolbox.com. Stop by and see him. Great, great stuff. On behalf of Chief Doug Klein, my boss, Chief Steve Pegram, Chief Bobby Holt, and everybody's boss, on all the good folks at Fire Engineering. Yeah, this is the training office. Folks, we're in service. You stay safe.
The Voice is produced by the International Society of Fire Service Instructors in cooperation with Fire Engineering Magazine. For more information on the Instructor Society, go to www.isfsi.org.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.